Welcome to All the Bits, a fake radio show about board games, the community, and all the lovely, lovely bits. All the Bits is a proud member of the Dice Tower Network and is sponsored by Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. Without further ado, here are your hosts, Sean and Michelle.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 73.
In this episode's bits, it's apparently going to be all about Feljuary as we talk about the Castles of Tuscany, Bonfire, a little less Feljuary with Kingswood and Jurassic Parts. We'll look at the BGG thread, only in Board Game Land would you find, and then we'll take a step up to the Little Leagues. All this and all of our usual antics of asking pointless questions, guessing games, and drooling over bits. That hurt my jaw.
No, then don't do that.
I also realized I don't have any beer here, Michelle. That's unfortunate.
I'm already a third through my cup of water, so we need to be fast.
Okay. All right. Well, hey, speaking of fast.
Okay.
Can we tease the Bitzers with something?
We can.
I don't see how that relates to fast. But let's just tease the Bitzers. You know, we've had the Bitzers asking us about a certain something for a while, if we can do a certain something. And we are hoping to have a very big announcement about said certain something very soon.
There you go. Tease.
Is that an effective way of teasing?
Yes. Fast and effective? There you go. Bring in your segue.
It was pretty... Yeah, it was like 30 seconds. It was pretty fast.
There you go. Boom.
That's, aside from that, I don't know if I have much banter other than where we are. There's the polar vortex going on. It is so cold. Oh, my gosh.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. So I should look this up for people who do not follow our... Let's see.
Are we converting Celsius to Fahrenheit or vice versa? Is that what you're doing right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was just going to do that too. I was like, how do we explain this to our American friends?
Wait, it just says minus 40 is minus 40.
Is it minus 40 now?
I heard it's supposed to get minus 40 overnight.
It was like minus 33 before. I like rolled up the window. I had to go out to grab something and I rolled up the window and it was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. I've decided I actually prefer winter over summer. So seriously? I was out today and I enjoyed it.
Well,
this is too cold.
This
to
is
be fair.
Beyond.
But I do enjoy the crisp fresh air.
This isn't crisp fresh air though. This is like burn your toes
burn
and
your
fingers
lungs.
Off fresh air.
Yes, it is.
So what is
one good thing I've noticed about masks is they keep your face warm.
Really? Your mask keeps your face. Oh my gosh, I feel like mine does nothing.
Really?
I don't know.
You must have bad masks, Sean. You should get on that.
Don't say that. Now I'm going to be having an anxiety attack here for the next hour. Thanks.
Sorry.
Okay, tell us what's minus 33 and what do we use?
Or have
we just
doing that?
Should we just abandon that and like ask each other pointless questions?
This is our Ask Me Anything bit. Where we ask each other useless questions about this beautiful hobby.
Hey, speaking of useless, Michelle.
Yeah.
We haven't done this in a while. Board Game Geek random game.
Oh, no.
And you're going to tell me if I'm going to go to BGG and do the random game thingamabob on the browse link. And you are going to tell me if you would buy it, burn it, or play it.
And I'm allowed to look it up, right?
Yeah, you can look it up, because the chances of it being something... Oh, hey, something you might know.
Ooh.
You might actually know this game.
Okay.
All right. So, Alhambra the Dice Game.
Oh, boy.
This came out in 2006 from designer Dirk Hen and from Queen Games. And it's a standalone game in the It's the same box size as Alhambra. Oh, brutal.
I've played this.
Oh, have you? Okay, so it's a dice rolling.
I have set two collection. Plays.
Okay, it's a dice rolling set collection game.
Yeah, I don't remember it at all, and I don't know it has a bad rap. So let's just burn it. We don't need more dice rolling, moving up track games unless they're good. Get rid of it.
All right. That's fair. Let's burn it. We need to burn anything we can burn right now for war.
That's right. All right. Too much.
All right. How about First Division Football, which came out in 1999 from Joseph S. Costa, and it's web published. It's a quickly play solo soccer simulation But hey, it will only take 2 minutes to play.
And the image to get you excited is a screenshot of the, you know, the rule book from like a Microsoft Word document. I'm gonna burn this.
I figured you were burning it, so yeah. I already loaded up another one. Let's do another one really quickly. Another game, maybe I think I've actually heard of before. It's Oko Era of the Asagiri.
Asagiri, what now?
OKKO. Era okay, of the Asagiri, designed by Laurent Pouchain, and it is a... Actually, you probably never heard of this. I think I've, like, seen something about this game. It's a, like, a minis game. It's a miniature game that's played on a board with squares. It simulates skirmishes between samurai and typical Japanese-inspired characters. I feel like I've seen this on, like, I subscribe to some of these YouTube, like, mini channels. And I think I might have seen this at some point because it kind of looks familiar to me.
It has a gorgeous cover.
Yes.
That is not enough for me. Therefore, I shall burn it.
All right. Well, we're going to keep nice and warm this week.
We are. Especially with minis. There's lots there.
Yeah.
Although we might get high off the plastic. They're
sick.
Well, that might not be such a good thing. We've already lost enough brain cells in our lives. We don't need to lose more.
That's fair. All right, that's it for me.
Okay, my question for you is, what is minus 33? No, I'm kidding.
Big, because I don't know the answer.
I think it's minus 27.4 Fahrenheit.
Okay, there you go. That's the name of our episode this week.
There you go. I do have a question for you.
Bring it on. Yeah.
What should someone absolutely avoid doing if they are playing a game with you?
With me?
Mm-hmm.
Looking at their watch.
Mm.
If they have a watch. I'm like, I don't care if they look at their phone because I feel like I look at my phone all the time. Mostly because I have little children. If I don't look at my phone, they respond. It's not great. But yeah, if they like have a watch and they're like constantly looking at their watch, that drives me nuts.
So I bought my husband Rich a smartwatch. This is years ago now, but it took me a while to get used to him looking at his watch because every time he looked at his watch, I thought he was looking at the time, and I was like, "Excuse me," but it was just that his watch
so
was buzzing.
Rude.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I don't care. I feel like I've been asked this question before, and otherwise, I don't really care because I'm like, whatever. I don't know. Yeah.
All right.
I can't say anything because I'm really a chronic like time checker on my phone and checking for messages, and I'm a chronic like fidgeter. So for me to actually say that people shouldn't do with me is even more hypocritical than I'm usually hypocritical. So.
Yes. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Good on you for recognizing that, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. Okay. I have to sing a song now, right?
You must attempt to sing a song poorly, yes.
Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. This is our guest game bit, in case you didn't figure it out, wherein we give each other vague, then specific, then super obvious clues from the board game geek to guess a game and ask that you guess along at home.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Who's going first here?
I'll give you some hints.
All right. If I'm so close to just telling you the name of the game again. Just reading the name and they did it.
I have to say, I'm pretty shocked we haven't done that just quite yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Oh, this is kind of tricky. Okay. Not this yet. Came out in 2008.
Whoa. Whoa.
But the version I'm thinking of came out later, which is why I said it was tricky.
Is it
the new version?
Or is it like a complete, like a re-implementation?
I don't know. I didn't even know.
Like
about
was it the 2008 was the 2008 the same name?
I think so.
Okay. Okay.
I have no clue. I did not know about this game before. All right. It has a rating of 6.9 with 2,800 ratings. Plays 2 to 5 in 45 minutes and has a weight of 1.83.
Okay, no idea.
Okay, the category is abstract strategy and racing.
2008, so wouldn't be Camel Cup. Racing.
Formula by the way, Day? I think the new version came out in 2018 or 2019.
Okay, so it wouldn't be Formula Day. Downforce? No, that's not abstract.
That's a good guess, though.
No, okay, I have no idea. Racing
Okay, we've got some mechanisms. We've got a modular board, three-dimensional movement, and tile placement.
Three-dimensional movement?
Yeah.
So, like, it goes vertical?
So it's, like, pretty fancy, basically.
And what was the last one? Modular
tile
board.
Placement.
Tile placement.
It's not really tiles, though.
It's a racing game.
Yep.
Sorry, I probably shouldn't talk in the podcast, not in the
traditional sense. Like it's you know, that's the category is racing.
So people are racing to
win, not necessarily racing like a car or a horse.
I got no idea.
All right, I will give you another clue.
Okay.
A component that people like to use when they play this game is a Lazy Susan.
No, it's not Dominion. It's the only game I can think of that people use a Lazy Susan for.
I would consider this also a bit of a dexterity game. I guess not, but it reminds me of one.
Climbers?
No. Yeah!
It's definitely a dexterity game.
Yeah, it's not on here as dexterity. Huh.
I love Climbers.
Love Climbers, but I felt like it always kind of ended in the same way. Like, what blocks ended up happening and stuff. And
it kind of does. Yeah. But it's also not a game, like, you know, I would play every single time. And every week it would just be like, it's a fun game to pull out. Although
it
I'm still, like, not thrilled about the paint job on the new ones. I feel kind of, I know we talked about this. I don't feel that comfortable with the paint. But yes, but I do like it. It's a good game.
Those mini ladders.
Yeah. They're so cute.
Are incredible.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Speaking of mini ladders. No, not at all.
Oh, really?
That'd be so cool, though.
I was like, what game am I going to buy?
Wow, I was thinking about this game, and which I'll tell you after, and I had no idea that it was this highly ranked, and I'm kind of shocked. Okay, this game came out in 2019.
Okay.
It has a 7.8 rating on BGG, with 9,000 ratings and 1,500 comments, and is currently ranked 123rd overall. It plays 2 to 4 players in 20 to 60 minutes with a weight of 2.6. It was designed, I think designer may or may not give it away, I don't know. But it was designed by Thomas Lehman.
In 2019? Oh, is it Jump Drive?
No, but good guess. Also a game.
It's not Favor of the Pharaoh, is it?
No, but you are along the right track. Well, ish.
Oh, Res Arcana.
Yes, that is it. Yes.
Yay!
Nice. You guessed that pretty quickly. I was like, should I give you the designer or just make you sweat? And I was like, I'll just go with the designer.
It's on my mind right now because it's on the BGG hotness, and it's because it's on sale on Amazon or something.
Oh, is that why? I was wondering. Well, okay. So, yeah. So I was thinking about it because it just came out on Board Game Arena. That's why it's been on my mind. And I actually had the tab open because we were maybe going to play it yesterday, but didn't end up playing it. But that's why it was, yeah. So it's like, oh. But
so that's a game I don't know if I think I talked about it initially on the podcast, but yeah. I don't know if I've given an update. So I initially didn't like it, but I said that I thought if there was drafting, it would be better.
Yes.
And because I like Seasons so much, and I kept hearing it compared to Seasons, I did not reacquire it. Actually, I never owned it in the first place. I just played it. But I did buy it because I got it for a good price, and I did enjoy it with the drafting.
I love it. Yeah, with the drafting, it makes it more. It's so good with the drafting that makes it, yeah.
Yeah.
And I like how quick it is, although, yeah, I do understand. I think a lot of people feel like it ends too quickly. But once you start getting the hang of it and you kind of know what you're doing, you kind of can strategize around that. And the draft mitigates that because you can kind of plan things a little bit more. But it's a gooder.
Yeah, I got to play it more. It's one of those ones that I keep meaning to get to the table with Rich, and then there's too many games.
I gotta play everything more. Sure, yes, yes, I do.
What were you gonna say? You sounded like you were excited about.
No, I said I gotta play everything more.
Oh yeah,
I am looking forward to playing this one since it's on Board Game Arena, so I will hopefully get the chance to play it. Speaking of
playing games.
Yes. Ow. I just hit my head on the microphone.
The microphone's not that hard, Sean.
Oh, it's hard. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Pew, pew,
you,
pew,
poor,
pew.
You poor thing. Are you going to be okay?
Yes, thank you. See, I was waiting. Good. That's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
That's what my mommy does.
With sarcasm or no?
I can't really tell anymore.
Okay.
At some point, you just... anyway, pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew.
Pew, 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 pew.
That's a sad sounding pew.
Yeah, my head really hurts.
Now I feel bad.
Now I'm concussed.
If it's legit.
Yeah, as long as you'll come visit me in the hospital.
So. I probably am not allowed.
No, that's true. That's
but fair. I'll be there in spirit.
Yeah. Anyway, what bit is this machine?
This is our pew pew, which is our rapid laser-like reviews, wherein we explain games poorly and then tell you what we think of them after a play or more using our super official scale of...
One, that would be a no, a hard no.
Hard no.
Hard. I don't like my microphone.
Exactly.
Two, meh. Three, I mean, it's fine. Four, 'tis a gooder. And five, it's got the spark.
Ding, 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 ding.
I'm just going to auto-spark both of Michelle's selections tonight and just assume they're both... Am I a rock star?
Stop making assumptions. I'll just say that.
Ooh, well then, why don't you get started?
All right then.
All right.
So in honor of Felduary, and most people will know what this is, but in Felduary...
If they don't know.
In Felduary, in February, I play all my Felds, because why not? he's my favorite designer, so... So in honor of this wonderful month of Felduary, I will be talking about two Felds, which I surprisingly haven't talked about yet on the podcast.
That's because they're brand new. Oh, I thought you were going to say for February. Sorry.
Oh. All right. So the first one I'm going to talk about is the Castles of Tuscany, which came out in 2020, has current rating of 7.4 with 1,000 ratings, plays 2 to 4 in 45 to 60 minutes, and has a weight of 2.17. This is designed by, obviously, Stefan Feld. The art is by Antje Steffen and Klaus Steffen, and published by Alia Games. This is supposed to be a follow-up to The Castles of Burgundy, which I guess it is in terms of you are getting hexes and placing them onto a board and trying to complete, and these hexes are different colors and you're trying to complete areas. So like, oh, look, this area has two yellow hexes. So if I put two yellow tiles on it, I complete it and I get points. Yay. So that's how it's related to Castles of Burgundy. The game is pretty straightforward. Yeah, it's light, 2.17. So basically, well, what you're trying to do is get the most points. And the game ends after... the game end is triggered, I should say, when someone gets rid of their tiles, which I'll explain. So it's player driven. On your turn, you're simply doing one of three things. You're either taking a tile, there's a display out, you're placing a tile onto your board, or you are taking cards. So the neat thing about taking tiles from the display is that if you take a tile, you have to store it, similar to Castles of Burgundy. You only have one storage space in this game, but you can get more, which I will explain. And then you actually take, you replace the tile you took with one of your own. So you have a little player board, and at the top of your player board, you have three stacks of tiles, which represent the three rounds of the game. And so when you take a tile, you flip over the top one on your leftmost stack to replace it. And when that stack gets empty, you do a scoring. And that's interesting because it's very player controlled. To a certain extent, there's luck. There's a lot of card. Like, it's pretty card driven. So, you know, if you're not getting the cards, you can't necessarily control the pace of the game. But there is that element to it. Mm-hmm. So there's that. When you place a tile, you're placing it out onto a similar board to Castles of Burgundy, but it's made up of three tiles that you put together, which is also kind of a nice aspect of this game. In that you get an A tile, B tile, and a C tile, and they have a number of hexes on them. And then at the beginning of the game, you actually choose how to lay them out. So you can, you know, you can, for example, create a big green area or something like that. This isn't a huge decision space, but it's, you know, a little something. And then the last thing I mentioned was drawing cards. Cards are used to place tiles. So you need a pair of the color of tile that you want to place. So if you want to place a green tile, you need two green cards. Or you can use any two cards as a wild. So that's how you place down tiles. Okay. When you place down tiles, exactly like Castles of Burgundy, something happens depending on the color that you've put down. So some examples of what can happen... similar to Castles of Burgundy, there's that dark green castle that's quite powerful. It gives you like a free turn, basically. In this one, you get to take a tile and put it straight on. So you skip the storing part. There's a way that you can upgrade your board so that when you take a certain action, for example, when you take cards, you get to take more cards. So when you place down a red tile, you can choose which area that you want to upgrade. Do you want to get more cards? Do you want more storage? Do you want to get more workers, etc.? Workers, by the way, are wilds, which you get when you place an orange tile. So that kind of thing. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different colors. But it's pretty basic. It's pretty basic stuff. The other interesting thing about this game is there's actually two scoring tracks. So there's the scoring, the board is a circle, and there's an outer track and an inner track.
Great.
And so most of the time as you're going through the game, you're going to be getting, there's a green track and a red track. You're going to be getting green points. So, you know, if you complete an area and it's, you know, three hexes big, you'll get 6 green points. And then when one of those stack goes down and the round ends, that's when you actually transfer your green points to your red track. But your green points never reset. So the first round, for example, you might get 20. And then anything you get in the second round, you're actually adding on top of that 20 on the green track.
Okay.
And then that transfers over. So that's another, you know, unique mechanism of the game. So some interesting ideas, right? Like the score, I like the scoring piece. Although I worry that could lead to king making. Like, it seems to me, like, if you do really well in the first round, it would be very difficult for someone to catch up. I haven't experienced it enough. I haven't played enough games, but I imagine it could be an issue. I don't know what BGG is saying about it, but anyways, but I still like the idea. I like that, you know, you can create your own board and kind of decide a little bit there. I like that you control the timing of the game to some extent with the little tiles. Like, you can decide, okay, do I want to try to, like, just get some tiles so that I shut this person, my opponents out, or, you know, like that sort of stuff. It's nice. One of the things that I didn't like, I played through the game and I was like, okay, that's it. And it kind of feels like you can do very little. I mean, you've only got the three choices on your turn, and you're so dependent on your card draw and what you get for your cards. I mean, if someone, and I know cards are random, and they add an element of luck, but this game feels so dependent on those cards that it's almost too much. Like, if you're just not getting lucky, there's so little you can do in this game. And then, of course, there's also, like, if the wrong tile colors are coming out, you know, that don't match up with your board, because you do have to place adjacent to tiles you've already placed, that can kind of leave you in a place of not being able to do much and leave a bad taste in your mouth. And the decisions are really not that interesting. So there you go. That's the things I like and don't like. In terms of, I always talk a little bit about the bits in the rule book. There's really nothing special here. So everyone who's somewhat familiar with Fel games knows the whole, like, greenback issue with Carpe Diem. The first, and I think even the second printing wasn't great, where they had, like, you had to distinguish between two different greenbacks, and one was really light and one was light. And it was really hard to tell. They did the same thing in this one.
Oh, now, really?
They did label them A, B, and C, but I was just like, ugh. Like, there's just so much.
Oh, that's annoying.
It's just a lot of green. It's a very green game. Anyway, and then there's a lot of issue with the rule book. So the rule book itself is good. Like, I think Aaliyah does a great job with rule books. I love how they do the summary on the right-hand side. However, the translation was apparently quite terrible.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so there's a lot of ambiguities, and there's even pieces that were left out. So I just checked on BGG today, and someone has collected kind of all the questions and put together an official FAQ. And, like, to tell you how bad it is, Sean, let me just read you.
Oh, my gosh.
On the description on BGG, it actually says, note, the English edition of the rules have some translation and design issues, making it harder than typical to learn how to play. Here's the basic.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So that's not great, right?
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. So rather unfortunate. And the box, it's the same box as the Castles of Burgundy, the new edition.
Yep.
And it's, like, paper thin, and it wears really easily, which, I mean, it's not a huge deal, but it's just, I feel like we're farther than that in the industry.
Yeah, I think at this point.
Yeah. So it probably deserves a 2, but I'm going to give it a 3 because I'm going to keep it around. It's probably, as someone mentioned on Instagram today, my Feld colored glasses. And I also think that because it's light and should be relatively quick, although 45 to 60 minutes is still a fair bit of dedication, I do think it might be one I can convince Rich to play, because it's, like, kind of a filler, but it feels a bit more like a Euro. I might end up getting rid of it, but I want to play it at least a few more times. So, no, it's not great. Unless you're, like, a diehard Feld fan, or I don't know. That being said, like, this, I think this was in Rado's top of the year, has got 7.4 rating. I don't know. It seems like there's kind of two, it's very polarizing. But for me, it was a bit of a miss. So there you go.
So I should just stick with regular Castles of Burgundy?
Absolutely. It is a superior game, for sure. If this played in like 20 minutes or 30 minutes, that'd be one thing. But 45 to 60 minutes for this, that's hard. That's a hard pill to swallow, I think. So there you go.
That's fair.
Castles of Tuscany, a 3.
I really want to go to Tuscany one day. That's all I have to say about this.
That would be nice.
If we ever get to travel again. Okay. Speaking of 20 minutes, Michelle.
Been to Tuscany. Yeah, I'm pretty sure I've been to Tuscany.
Yeah.
I think I'd remember. Anyways, go ahead.
This game can probably be played in about 20 minutes that I'm going to talk about. I'm going to talk about Kingswood from 25th Century Games, which came out in 2020. Currently has 7.1 on BGG. And 71 comments, 210 ratings, designed by Henry Audubon with art by Tristan Rawson. And this is a game that was on Kickstarter, I believe, although I've been playing the retail, although 25th Century does make really fantastic, cool Kickstarters, which always makes me disappointed. Complete tangent. I have the Winner Winner Chicken Dinner Kickstarter that has a bunch of cool stuff in it. And also, I don't know if this is Kickstarter or the game, but has a squeaky rubber chicken in it. So that's fun. And I use the rubber chicken all the time.
Trolls that get Sean in.
Oh, yeah. Just have a rubber chicken. I don't know if that's a Kickstarter thing or if it's also the original. I don't know what purpose it has, but I squeak it all the time and love it. And
you approve, of course.
I approve, yes. Back on topic, though. Kingswood. Kingswood is it is for the most part a set collection game with a bit of a rondel element to it, which is pretty cool. It's a very, kind of tries to take that, you know, light RPG type deal, D&D, where it's like, you have this random fantasy character, and they're going to go on some sort of an adventure and fight some monsters and get loot. You know, that whole deal. But what you're doing in this game is there are different characters or guilds that you take. They all have a certain amount. There are various resources in this game. You are using resources to fight monsters. That's where kind of the resource piece comes in the set collection. You are, with the resources, are there like spell books, swords, heart, and coins. And you're using these to eventually fight monsters. But how you get these resources is a little... It's pretty neat as well. There are three random adventurers on the table, and you get to move on the rondel, which is five locations that are always there, and then like one random location that you shuffle and then deal. And all these locations, you set them up kind of in, you know, a circle-y type deal. And the three adventurers start on the three assigned spaces, and then you can move them. And you move the adventurer one spot to the left or to the right. If you want to go more than one spot, you have to pay a coin for each spot you go. So you can go, let's say, three spots to the left, but you'll have to pay coins for each additional spot you go. Or if there's already an adventurer there, you have to jump over them and will automatically have to pay. So you might not be able to go.
Ouch.
Which is a neat thing I like about this game. And the other thing I find really cool about this game is when you do basically you do two things in the game. You either, you kind of explore, slash that's where you're going to collect stuff, collection, slash exploring, or you can move I think it's called the King's Guard. And the King's Guard basically just blocks a space, and you get money for it to do it. But you don't do that often. Like, I haven't found myself doing that too often, unless I've been really desperate for money, which usually means I'm about to lose or doing really bad. But when you're exploring, what I really like is that you get the resources on the location you started on, and then you move to a new location and you get those resources too. So it's like you're getting a lot of extra, right? And you're either, when you are doing that, you're either going to get coins new resources like spell books and whatnot, or refresh the ones you use, which I'm going to get to now. The main location here that you have to consider yourself in terms of getting points, and this game's basically a race to 20 points, although you finish it around once you get to 20 points, so someone else could win, but you're trying to get to 20 points, and you get points by going to the forest and fighting monsters. And the monsters all are going to require some combination of those resources to beat. And if you have those resources, if they're coins, you spend them. But if they're the other resources, you exhaust them and you'll get to, which is flipping them upside down. And then otherwise, you will get those resources back when you go to the other locations. You're fighting these monsters. They're going to give you a certain amount of victory points. You kind of do that basically until someone reaches 20 points. That triggers the end of the game. And that's the end of the game. Which totally fine with, because I don't think I've played this game with anyone over like 9 years old. I got in quite a few plays of this kind of before/when I was still working in the schools and we were doing like a little mini kind of board game club. I was able to play, and I think that's where it says 10. The community says 8. I think the sweet spot for this game is probably like that, like 8 to 12-year-old range. Or as just a really light filler. And I think for the most part, 25th century games, that's their target audience, is that really family-friendly type thing. I really enjoy this game. I really like this game for like what it is, which is just a quick filler. I like the rondelle mechanism. I like that the strategy, at least for me as an adult, comes in, you know, with managing money and figuring out what to do with money and like how badly do I want to skip over other spaces or... you know, can I box other people in? The components are really nice. The art is gorgeous. I love the art. I really like... I've just recently kind of become aware of Tristan Rosin. He's had a few games on Kickstarter, as well as, I think, a designer. And his art is really that vibrant type of art, which I've talked about. So I really enjoy the art. Again, on the retail edition, the components are nice. The box is really nice. Again, they always have, like... the UV spot, whatever, with the boxes. Could probably be maybe in like a smaller package, like a smaller box. That's like my only complaint for it. But for what it is, yeah, I think it is a gooder for me. Yeah, it is a gooder. This is probably a game that if it had like a little bit more strategy, which was slightly heavier, it would probably give me the spark, because it's kind of like right in that like time frame I like and that heaviness I like. But it is fairly light, and I don't know how much play I can get. I'm interested one day if I can. There's a solo mode in it. I haven't played the solo mode, but I've heard it's really good, so I would like to play that at some point. But otherwise, yeah, Kingswood has been a really good I've really enjoyed it. It's been really fun, and definitely like if you have kind of like the younger set, I think it really goes. But that family, if you're looking for like a family game type thing, it's a gooder.
And I assume the extra piece you add in for the rondelle, it stays there the whole game. Like, it's not
the...
you mentioned that one card is randomly chosen for the rondelle.
Oh yes, yeah, it stays there the whole game. Yes, I think I think there are 9 or 10. So okay. you kind of get, and I mean, you could probably pick. I just shuffle them, whatever, let the kids pick. But you can also just kind of probably choose which one you want as well. But it's nice to have that bit of randomness, and that kind of, that mixes things up, because you don't know what it is. And the cards all do have special powers as well, but it's not huge, depending what guild you pick, it's not a huge impact on the game. So everything seems pretty balanced.
I'm having a giggle because I'm looking at a picture of the game and one of the cards is called Toll Troll.
Yeah.
I don't know if you ever watched It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
No, but I feel like I've heard that, like,
you gotta
seen
be
a meme
the Toll Troll. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So,
and it's and kind of, yeah, just looking at, like, you know, the picture, it really is going for that, like, you know, stereotypical, like, RPG, like,
it's cute.
Deal. Yeah, totally. And the art, I have a thing for that type of art. It kind of reminds me of, like, Charterstone, you know, how, like, the art was in Charterstone. Mm. And, like, I really like that kind of cartoonish, vibrant art that doesn't take itself too seriously.
It's definitely fitting based on the description you said.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So that's Kingswood?
Kingswood, that's it.
Four.
Let's go. Tis a gooder.
That's a four, right?
That's a four.
All right.
Let's move from the forest to the bonfire.
Hang on, I just gotta check my audio because something just unplugged. It went. Oh, okay.
That was a horrible segue too, so we'll just ignore that and then start over.
All right.
Can you hear me?
I think it's working.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So my second Felduary Feld is Bonfire. So this also came out in 2020. Has a current rating of 8.0 with 1.4 thousand ratings. Plays 1-4, which is pretty rare for a Feld. He doesn't usually do solo modes. Mm-hmm. In 70 to 100 minutes and has a weight of 3.61. Obviously designed by Stefan Feld. Art by Dennis Lohausen and published by Hall Games and Pegasus Spiel. And I'm sure, and eight more. There you go, for publishers.
Yeah.
So this is on the other side of a Feld design in that it's obviously a 3.61. It's a heavier Euro. Oh boy. Okay, so
Michelle's got to explain a Euro.
Yeah. So this game is largely driven by action tokens that you get. And in order to get these action tokens, you place down in front of you, you have a grid, and you have tiles with three icons on them that represent the tiles that you'll get for your actions. And so at the beginning of the game, you'll put down one in the middle of your player board. And then throughout the game, one of the actions that you can do is to take another one and place it down. And then you get a tile for each of the icons that you just put down. So, for example, there might be, I'm just going to use colors, green, red, and blue. So you get a green, red, and blue tile. However, if your tile matched up in terms of a symbol, so like think like dominoes, then you get that as well. So if you aligned two reds together, for example, then you would get two reds, a green and a blue or whatever I said, yellow, who knows. So that's how you get tiles in order to do actions in this game. The interesting thing about these tiles that you place down to is that at the beginning of the game, you have, I don't know how many, we'll say 10-ish, and they are all lined up, and you can only pull from the top or the bottom as you continue to add tiles to get more of the task tiles. So there's some strategic planning there in terms of seeing what tiles you're going to be getting throughout the game and what kind of actions you're going to be able to do really well, for example. Okay? So that's how you get task tiles. I keep using the word tile for two different things, so I apologize. It's a bit confusing. But you basically get these task tiles in order to be able to do things. And, of course, as in a typical Feld, there's lots of different things that you can do. There's a board that everyone shares, and half of it is a bonfire and a half of it is islands. So one of the things that you can do is you can move your ship around, and in order to move your ship around, you're going to have to pay like a blue ship tile. Okay. So to do anything, you basically have to be able to pay a tile. So with the ships, you're going around and you're getting task tiles. And so they're basically just saying, hey, you know, this is something that you have to fulfill. They're objectives. But you get to choose them and you have to pay for them in order to get them, and you put them out on your board. So that's one of the things that you can do. In front of you on your board, it's like, think of it as like a half circle, and there's a path going around the outside. But you have to build that path throughout that game, throughout the game. So another one of the things you can do is get a path tile. So that goes on the outside. And then you have these guys, they're called Guardians of Light, which you have to collect. You start with one in your own color, but you can collect them by moving to an island with them. So that's another thing that's on these islands. And you move them along this path. And as they move along the path, they will give you resources. Again, to move them along the path, that requires one of the task tiles. And to score the most points, eventually you want to move these guardians into onto your board. So they're kind of moving on the outside. These paths you're creating, you want to move them inside, because inside is where you've put your objective tiles, which will score you points. The trick, however, is that the path you build has to be built from left to right. And then there's portals, you have to build right to left. They're basically, they just complete a path. So if you put a path right beside your board, there's a little bit of a gap so that the guardian can't make it onto your board. These portals, you plop right in the middle there, and then they can make it. But the point is, you're building a path from left to right, and you're building the gap in the path from right to left. The further you move your dudes down the path, the more points you're going to get. But obviously, that's more difficult because it takes more time and more effort and requires you to specialize to some extent. So, and then, of course, there's these paths are different colors and you want to match colors. You know, it's a Feld, right? So there's lots of little pieces in there. There's also, I guess I should mention the bonfire, because it is indeed a bonfire. That's what the game is named after. Mm-hmm. So the bonfire is where you'll find additional action tiles. So you can take an action to go to this bonfire, and you can get more resources and more tasks. And also that's where you get your portals to complete your paths. So that's at the bonfire. The neat thing is that when you complete one of your little objectives, or there are some in-game objectives, like once you have X number of tasks done, or you've moved your dude so many times, you get to put your people in this bonfire. And there's a bunch of benches, and each bench has a different, very powerful ability, like a free move your ship anywhere you want to go instead of having to pay to go island to island, for example. So you get, every time you do something great, or you complete an objective, you get to move your dude to a bench of your choice, take a powerful action. And the game end trigger is actually having X number of guys at the bonfire, or X number of meeples. So that's kind of cool. Like, again, it's player driven. That's the bonfire. There's also gnomes, which are game breakers. So they're character cards that you can get that allow you to break the rules. And there's also end game scoring ones. Again, they require a task tile to gain, and you also have to pay resources to get them. What else? I think that's pretty much everything. Yeah, ish, right? So you kind of get the idea, right? So main thing is you're trying to get these task tiles to do a bunch of different things. All right. So there you go. That's bonfire, kind of, sort of. Let's talk. Okay, let me go back to rule book and bits like I usually do. So there's nothing special. They're fine. There's my
nice.
They're, yeah, it's a nice game there, but there's nothing where you go, oh, wow, this is really neat. But it's good, solid. Mm-hmm. All right, so for Feld fans, this doesn't feel like a typical Feld. It's not necessarily what you would expect from a Feld for a number of reasons. At the beginning of the game, pretty much everything is out there. You know what tiles are going to be available to you. You know what tasks are on the islands. You know where the portals are in the bonfire. The only information that changes is the gnomes that are available. So if someone buys a gnome, they're cards, so you'll refill the row. So you might get new information, or you will get new information that way. And then as people take path tiles, those also get replaced. Okay. But I mean, generally speaking, it's near perfect information. And so you're going to be able to, at the beginning of the game, really take stock of what's out there, and plan what you want to do. In addition, so Feld is typically known for, point salad games, which is that you get a number of points for basically anything throughout the game. This does not feel like a point salad game.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's you get very few points throughout the game. However, at the end, I feel like it is a bit of a point salad in terms of you start to kind of score for everything. And I actually, that was one of the challenges I had with the game. And I know the more I play it, it'll be fine. But I found the scoring a little bit obtuse. Like, it was like, okay, so because there's Yeah, there's you want to match thing, you want to match colors, and you want to move dudes, but if you don't, you still get point. Like, it's just, I don't know. It's not overly complicated, but it's, I didn't also find it super, super intuitive. Like, it was kind of weird that way. But yeah, so you get lots of points for a smattering of things at the end, but during the game, you will not. I don't really have much negative to say about this game. Like, I think, I know for a lot of people who have been in the hobby for a long time and used to really like Feld and maybe have fallen out of love with him a little bit, they've said, ah, oh, Feld is back. This is such a solid title. So a lot of people are really happy with the design. I really, really like the game, but I didn't get my spark. And I think, I know, and I think the reason is that the reason I like Feld designs and a lot of the games that I like is because I'm getting constant feedback throughout the game. I like point salads. I like getting points for things. I like the feeling that I'm doing things and accomplishing things. And I also like games to be a bit more tactical. So what I mean in that, like what I, you know, a lot of Felds use dice. So I like having to rolling my dice, having a general idea of what I'm trying to do, but then having to react to the dice that I'm given. This doesn't have that. It's really a lot more strategic, a lot more planning ahead. Mm-hmm. You don't have a lot of those, oh shoot, I needed a 4 and I got a 3, so what am I going to do? How am I going to solve that? There's none of that. That's what I like about a Feld. And a lot of other midweight Euros. The ones that give me that spark, that give me that excitement. That's what I feel like Bonfire's missing. That being said, very much a personal preference. I know a lot of people really like this and feel, like I said, like this is like, okay, Feld is back. Yes. So I'm giving it a 4, a solid, solid 4. Possibly the more I play this game and the more I just get familiar with it, it might become a 5 for me. I might get really excited. But like I said, I generally like a bit more points, feedback, and tactics in a gameplay. Mm-hmm. But very, very, very solid design and highly recommended. That's Bonfire. Tis a gooder for me.
All right, so let's just go naturally into my next pew-pew, which I just know this is from the same publisher as the previous one, so it'll be my version of Feldjoy.
There you go.
Nah. All right, okay, this is Jurassic Park, also from 25th Century Games, which I did not realize that I have both of them on here from them. This was designed by Kevin Lanzig, with art by Andrew Bosley, Matt Paquette, and Crimson Studios. This game currently has a 7.1 on BGG as well. I think that's the same as the other one, too, with 139 ratings. Plays 2 to 5 players in 20 to 45 minutes. The community says age 10 plus with a weight of 2. And this is another game that I got a fair bit of play shortly before our last complete lockdown with a bunch of my kiddos. This is so, as we know, I'm always interested in games that kind of are like an introduction to a certain mechanism, right? So we've talked about kind of SOS dinos on this game, which for cooperative play, you know, color it for roll and write, very many of the Haba games or Peaceable King, all these games that kind of like will just introduce a mechanism to someone, to a gamer. And this one, at least for me, was one that did that for Area Majority or Area Control. Which is not always a game I think of, not always a mechanism I think about, hey, this would be a good one to play with kids. Mm-hmm. Play a game where everyone has to be a jerk to each other, and this game can be very jerky. Let's play a game where everyone has to be jerky, but I had some kiddos who were more into, really wanted to play, like, just different games and experience different things. So I kind of threw this one out there, and it went over pretty well. So this is kind of a pretty small box game. And what you're doing in this game is you build a grid, Michelle, of all the tiles. You're paleontologist, Jurassic Park. So you're these paleontologists, and you're digging up dinosaur bones using your chisels, which are actual bits in this game.
Ooh.
So what you're doing is you build this grid where half the tiles are going to be face up and face down. And then what you're doing is you're using your chisels to section off
parts of the board. And once a part of the board is sectioned off, and it can be, you can lay the chisel so it's completely across. The board can be divided eventually in halves. You can also section off very specific parts of the board. That's where kind of the strategy comes in. And what you're doing is you're laying down these chisels, which I'll get to in a second how they work. But you're laying down these chisels, and once part of the board is sectioned off, you kind of score that part of the board in that whoever, whatever color chisel is has the most chisels there will get to take half of the tiles that are there, up to six, I think, up to a certain amount. But you get to take half of those tiles, so you choose which ones you want. And then the other, whoever's in second, gets to take half of whatever's left, and so on and so forth. And what you are trying to do, each tile has, well, some of the tiles are empty, but some have bones on them. And what you're trying to do is basically build a set of various dinosaurs, and they're worth points depending on what type of dinosaurs. There's ones like the T-Rexes, which require five or six different tiles to build that dinosaur once you take the tile and start building it. Then there's like, I think it's like the pterodactyls, which are just one tile, so you score for that. And then there are other ones where it's like, if you have one, it's worth a certain amount of points. And then depending how many you have, it'll be worth X number of points. So if you have five, it might be worth X number of points, and so on and so forth. So you're trying to do that. That's kind of the main part of the game. And you're doing this till you kind of go through all the tiles. In terms of the strategy, where the strategy comes in, what you are doing is you're laying your chisels down, your sharp chisels. They can't be dull. Once they're used, they become dull. You're laying down. Yeah, you're laying down your sharp chisels. But if you're near rocks, it requires more chisels. So depending how many rocks a tile might have, obviously, because you got to chisel through the rock. So
of
you
course,
might
of course.
Yes, obviously, you might have to spend more, and so on and so forth. So that's where there's some strategy in figuring out like what you want to try and work towards sectioning off, what you want to jump in to someone else, right? So someone could be working super hard for sectioning off those three parts for a Tyrannosaurus, and they're almost there, and boom, I'm going to jump in with my chisels and kind of, you know, start ruining things for them. That's what I noticed what was happening a lot in with the games that the kids were playing, and they seem to just be doing that for the sake of doing it. Not for strategy, but whatever, different story. And then there's the only other thing in this game is there's a field, I think it's field leader or field operative, not operative, that doesn't make sense, a field leader who you can basically, they're amber in the game, and you can basically, amber lets you do different things with the field leader. So you can go and you can buy stuff from the field leader. You can get multiple chisels. You can ignore the rocks. You can do different things. He gives you like certain powers and lets you trade in amber and use amber for stuff like that. That's pretty much the game. Again, this is another game. If it's 20, again, retail version, because I'm always too late to kickstart things. I think this is that game. It has like, I think it's the first player. If you have to kickstart the first player thing has like, it looks like, you know, from Jurassic Park, like
a resin.
Mosquito in it, a bug in it type thing. And again, I'm assuming there are lots of things in the Kickstarter version. That's pretty much the game. There's not a ton to it. It is super duper quick. Again, if you're looking at quality and bits and art and components, it's pretty good. It's nice. The rule book's a little bit on the confusing side. There's a lot going on, but I watched a video and just was able to kind of teach it pretty easily like that. It's a little bit, at least for me, my biggest gripe with this game, it is a little bit on the fiddly side, because you have those chisels, everyone has like 10 or 12 of those chisels, I think. You have those chisels, then you have the, you know, all the tiles that you're doing, and then you kind of, when you're separating or sectioning off the tiles, there's a lot of movement going along. There's a lot of, you know, especially me, I'm super duper clumsy, so a lot of clumsiness going on, knocking things over and stuff. So for it, definitely, at least I found it on the fiddly side for me. But as an introduction to area control, because you're trying to control those areas to get your set collection to build your dinosaurs, I do like it, because there's not a ton to it. It's not like, you know, the Blood Rage or whatever other area control game, Web of Power, that I'm thinking where a lot can be going on for it. It's very simple. It's like, boom, I'm chiseling. I have to section off and I have to build these dinosaurs and potentially just keep screwing over people. That's kind of it for the game. And plays pretty quickly. For me, I would say, I mean, it's fine. I think it's a three for me. it's definitely a game I'll probably kind of keep in my collection for, and we're in the middle of another lockdown, but when I am, you know, running a board game club or playing with kids, or even I could totally see, you know, if you wanted, let's say, you know, to like, you know, Chloe or Michelle or, you know, like when about like a 5 or 6 year old, I could totally see teaching this to them because there's not really, there's no real word, you know, you don't have to read, you don't really, you can easily explain it. You could probably knock off like some of the field leader stuff and just focus on, hey, let's build these dinosaurs, and then we're using the chisels to build the dinosaurs and not worry about like the extra little powers. So I think once kiddos get to like that 5-6 year old range, I could totally see this working with them. I again, 8 to 10 were the age ranges that I've played this with, and I could do kind of a learning game with my wife as well. And I could, one thing I didn't do is I didn't, it plays 2 to 5. I did not play it at 5. I think we went 3 and 4. I could totally see this being absolutely bat crap crazy at 5, where people just sit there just screwing each other over and just doing crazy stuff. I don't know how much fun it would be, but I could see it as an amusing time playing this at 5. But yeah, that's Jurassic Park. It's fine. If you're looking for just a very basic introduction to area control, I think it's definitely something worth looking into.
And that's, it took me a bit to find on BGG. It's Jurassic Parks.
The parts. Like
parks.
The parks, yes,
PR.
Not parks, Jurassic Parks. It's a play on words, Michelle.
Do you know what this reminds me of? And it's probably not accurate, but Through the Desert. Have you ever played that by Reiner Knizia?
I mean, not.
Okay. It's like, it's hexes and you're creating routes, or not routes. I'm trying to think of the word that they use, but there's different colored camels, and you're basically sectioning off areas of the desert to score points, but the colors of the camels are not player colors, so but it seems, I don't know, it just seems similar, like this would be like a super simplified version.
Okay, cool. And then I just read on BGG that the designer is the same designer from Flashpoint Fire Rescue, so there's some pedigree to this. So.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're ready for our next sound effect.
Yeah.
Everyone's been waiting for. So here we go.
Our
That is definitely
This is
not
episode
it.
73, and I still cannot get that one right. I still always go with our for this, and then like halfway through realize that, oh.
Sounded like you were running away, terrified.
Well, that's what happens when you read Board Game Geek. No, I'm just kidding. This is our BGG thread spotlight, wherein we are going to use other people's comments on the BGG thread to make content for our show.
Whoop, whoop.
Oh.
Yep. Yep.
All right. So
the BGG thread we chose today is Only in Board Game Land Would You Find. So Brenda Riley was the OP, and stated, only in Board Game Land would you find a group of people earnestly discussing whether 0 is less than 1. I'm pretty sure there'd be math circles that would argue that as well, but
Pete, who has made many, 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 many appearances on All the Bits, and he does not know, and Pete is literally probably my favorite BGG poster.
He's like, great.
He is the only person who posts on BGG who I could be like, yeah, Pete, I know his posts and his styles. Pete, a massive debate on whether or not you could shuffle one card. Pete, in brackets, is just going to leave that there and walk away slowly.
Mm-hmm. H Alpha says, people who read the instructions. This is true.
ENS, or INS, people who think adding plastic is an upgrade. Yep.
Ryan Keene, and I actually saw this as well. A recent one that gave me a laugh was, how do I sleeve my dice?
What?
Yeah, I saw it.
Seriously?
Uh-huh.
Huh.
There you go. Only in Board Game Land.
A Bali, people who scoff at Catan for being too mainstream.
Yep. Mark Nicosia, Always have a chuckle when the rulebook instructs, if this is your first play, carefully remove the tokens from the punch board. Otherwise, people would be all like, hey, it says to give each player 5 tokens, but they're all together in one sheet. What do we do? My favorite is step 1, put the board in the middle of the table.
Daniel Blummertrip. I have a rules question. The rules clearly say X. Does this really mean that X is the rule, or does it actually mean Y is the rule? Because you see, Y seems to make more sense to me.
So many of those.
Yeah.
So many. YG says, only in board game land do people sell off, trade their games because they need the space, and then buy them back 10 years later because they regret the decision. 10 years, that's pretty impressive. I'm more at like a 6 to 12 months, you know, cycle.
YG, only in board game land do people...
That's oh, you the read one that I just one. Read.
Jeremy Hissy. I played this game once. My friend won. This game isn't balanced at all.
Broken.
Hashtag broken.
Chuck Smith says, people who complain about spending $80 on something that only gives you 15 to 20 hours of unique interactive entertainment, legacy games, yet own many board games that they won't ever play even half as much. I do have to giggle. Like, we always talk about variability.
Yeah.
But considering how often and how many times we play the game, it's...
Al Walker, people who think viral pandemics can be cured with 5 cards of the same color.
That's not how it works.
If only.
Huh.
If only.
Huh. Mate says, only in board game land would you be able to use a coin or similar object to replace any natural resource should you run out. Wouldn't that be nice?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dan Condon Jones. Only in board game land would you be unable to have a baby because someone else is having a baby.
They took our spot.
They took our love shack.
Sam Lam, I am. At the end of it all, person A did a better job than person B because person A has more leftover bricks than person B. Can you imagine going to a job interview? I do have a lot of leftover bricks, so there you go.
That's a good one. That's a good
cute.
One.
Cute. Yeah. This one was a little bit old, but we had it on a earlier episode. Never did it. So it was worth bringing.
It's funny.
Bringing forward. Yeah.
I have nothing to contribute to it because I'm not nearly as funny and good as these people. So.
Yeah. I was trying to think of something with like coins. Cause it's like, we always want metal coins, but we don't just use real money. We spend our money to buy metal. Like what? Yeah.
Yeah.
And we also have, we're like baggy connoisseurs.
Yeah.
I would say like, I prefer a specific grade of plastic bag. Only in board game land do you come across that.
Right. The other one I'm thinking now that you're saying the plastic baggy thing is only in board game land. Do you find a hair scrunch, not a hair scrunchie, a hairband on the bed and wonder which game did this cut from?
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's a good one.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting quirks that come out of this hobby.
Yep.
Yeah. Or card finish. I remember when I first got in to the hobby and I was gaming with someone and they're like, oh, I don't like this card finish. I was like, the what now? Excuse me. And now I'm like, ugh, what is this?
I will only play games with a proper linen card finish.
To be fair, I blame Kickstarter because they always make linen finish a stretch goal. So it's not my fault. It's Kickstarter's fault.
Just blame Kickstarter for everything.
Yep.
Okay.
That's the way it goes. All right. Well. Before we close out the show, we want to say thanks again to our amazing listeners and our show sponsor, Board Game Bliss, a store where you can find an amazing selection of games from around the world, bringing joy to you and your loved ones. And don't forget to use the coupon code ATB-TAKE5OFF100 to take $5 off your order over $100, and it's one use per customer. No other rules apply. The next time you're playing with someone who has AP, may we suggest you use that time to click the subscribe button and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. Thanks again. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Oh, that's so cute.
What?
little bunny.
It's like well past my bedtime, so
okay. All right. Well, good luck editing
this. I'm losing it.
Yeah, well, you've been talking to me for an hour and a half, so I don't blame you.
And without beer, so.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
I didn't have alcohol.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.